Everyone agrees, bacon makes everything better, even marketing. This is the Bacon Podcast, where you'll learn to cure your marketing
and make your business sizzle. Can't believe I said that.
Internet marketing, online marketing, social media tips and techniques. Now, to help you bring more bacon home, the master of marketing sizzle, Brian Basilico. This is the Bacon Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business?
Hey, peeps, I've got an incredible repeat guest. Her name is Marla Tabaka, and in full disclosure, she is my coach, and I love Marla because she really helps me organize and get myself ready to do business. So, Marla, how are you doing today?
I am doing great today, Brian. I love you back, guy.
Thank you. It's the Mutual Bacon Love Society. Yes. I love it. It's outstanding. Well, anyways, you were on episode 131, and we were talking about EFT. If people haven't heard that, they need to go listen to it. But today, what I want to talk about is the money mindset, which is one of the things that you've really, really, really helped me with. And so when I first started working with you, one of the things I didn't realize was that I actually had a guilt problem. It might have been because I was born and raised Catholic. No offense, Catholics. But, you know, it's like I just had all this guilt about taking money from people. I felt like I was taking advantage of them. Is that normal?
It's common. Let me put it that way. Where none of us is normal, right? But it's common. Yeah, I see it a lot. I see it a lot in service-based businesses, Brian, because, you know, what we are so closely identified to our businesses because it's our brain, our mind, our creativity that we're basically selling. And it's difficult for many people in that business for two reasons: to disassociate themselves from the business. It's such a part of who we are. And also, oftentimes, not always, but depending on the business, I'll say coaches, for instance, massage therapists, people who are, you know, in that healer category, that healer helper category, oftentimes have a very difficult time actually putting a value on their services. And so in answer to your question, yes, I see this all of the time. And yes, it can be remedied. Absolutely.
Okay, so let's start with that core. How do we get beyond the guilt feeling of, you know, hey, we're taking money for something. Are we really giving? I think it really boils down to, are we really giving value for what we're giving?
Yeah. So there are a lot of exercises. I help people by giving them the exercises. But what it really boils down to is establishing your own self-value and your own self-worth and looking at your feelings of lack. Your feelings of not being good enough, perhaps, your feelings of, as you said, guilt around charging for something that is so personal to you. One of the things is that we see is that these talents are innate to us, right? So you're like this amazing kick butt marketer, but it's not hard work for you. I mean, mm-hmm. You work hard, but the knowledge is, much of it is just, you have such a knack for it. It's a wisdom that is partially innate to you. And the same for coaches. Much of what we do is innate. It's our personality is something we've come in with and something we've grown with over our lives. And so it seems too easy to charge for. Like, why should I charge for this? Anybody can do it. It's so easy. It's so simple. Mm-hmm. And that's the first step, is realizing that the gifts that you have and the knowledge and experience and wisdom that you have may feel simple and easy to you, but they're certainly not to other people. And that's why they're coming to you.
Right. And that's a great point. So in today's marketplace, matter of fact, I was just talking with a client about Amazon. We go to Amazon, we do tons of research, okay? We research all these different products and, you know, we look at reviews, we look at price. We look at reviews, we look at price, and 9 times out of 10, we end up going to price. You know, we want to find the highest review at the lowest price, right? That's kind of the game, right? So, you know, from our perspective, you know, we want to find out what other people are charging. It's like, oh, we got to make sure that we're at their price or lower. That's not a good game to play, right?
Absolutely not a good game to play. You need to focus more on establishing your value and worth. And one of the ways to do that, Brian, is to go back and to, to actually keep a list, keep a running account of what your past customers or clients have said to you about you. Any of the praise that you receive, anytime somebody sends you an email and says, oh my gosh, I can't believe how much you helped me today. You know, keep those snippets somewhere in a document so you can refer to them. That's the evidence that we have. The results that you've gotten for others, that's the evidence that you have as to how good you are. And we need to check in with those things quite often to kind of reaffirm our value. And you are worth, that's only a part of it. Your services are worth what you believe they are worth. If you're delivering results, if your clients are believing in you and appreciative of you, then you almost can't put a price tag on it. And I used to have this issue, Brian. I always felt for many years, I felt, well, I love coaching this level of client and they can't afford any more than X amount. And that's what most coaches charge. But I was not taking into account my experience in other industries as well as in the coaching industry. And I had many, many years of experience of coaching and I was still sitting at this low price point. And one time I woke up in the morning and I was like, okay, I'm going to increase my rates by 70%. I mean, that's insane, right? 70%. Mm-hmm. But I felt it. I felt it in my gut. I knew it was right. And until that point, I was struggling. But when I did that, you know what? I did nothing else except change my mind and believe in myself. And I attracted 3 full-paying clients within several weeks. I made more in several weeks than I had in the entire year. So, you know, you have to just feel it, pay attention to the good feelings that are in there that you're sabotaging with these limiting beliefs, these BS messages that go on in your head and go with your intuition and listen to your clients and listen to others and ask yourself, you know, what have I done and what has it done for my customers? A lot of things you can't put a price tag on. And the other thing, Brian, is to realize that hardly any decision, I mean, if you're going to jump off a cliff, that's a permanent decision, right? But if you're going to change your prices, that doesn't have to be a permanent decision. I played around with my prices. I went higher, I went lower. For me, ironically enough, the higher price point is what people wanted. They wanted it because they equate value with the price tag. And so people come in now and they're prepared to pay a lot of money and it's okay.
Mm-hmm. And when you say value, a lot of people think of the value brands, you know, in other words, generic. And one of the things I like to think about is not so much value, but return on investment. I like people to realize that, you know, everything that we're doing is a joint venture. This is not, I'm going to deliver you the magic bullet. You're going to take the blue pill and you're going to wake up rich the next day. That this is... Mm-hmm. You know, this is a process. And to build a little bit upon what you said, one of my all-time favorite stories is, and I don't know if this is accurate or not, but this is the way I tell it, is the story of Henry Ford where one of his boilers was bad and it wasn't working. And so a guy walks in, takes a look at one screw, twists it a little bit, and then pulls the screwdriver out, thing starts working, hands him a bill for $1,000. And Henry Ford looks at him and says, "You charge me $1,000 to turn that screw 1/4 turn." He said, "No, I charge you $1,000 to know which screw to turn and how far to turn it."
Perfect. Perfect. That is so true. And it's the wisdom that I was talking about, the experience. And in terms of value, we're coming from 2 different industries, right? So in the coaching industry, value refers more to the self-worth, the inner worth and inner value. And you're right. People can misinterpret that as the Walmart pricing value, if you will. So you're absolutely right. It's the things that you bring to the table and the cumulative worth. To remember, your experience is worth something, just like Henry Ford's fixer guy.
Yeah, it's one of those kind of things that I think the money mindset is. Some people are very meticulous, like they create business plans and need to make X amount of dollars and things like that. Mm-hmm. But primarily, I'm talking about people that are selling hours for dollars, for one thing, but also for product pricing. You know, it's like, if you can make a case, you know, if I could hand you a pill that would cure cancer and you had cancer, how much would you pay for it?
Yeah.
Everything, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's all relative. So it's identifying that pain point, but then also realizing that if you're confident about what it is that you provide, then you can set your own price, that you can create the right return on investment, that you can create the quote unquote value.
Yes. Right? And it's, you're right. And it's that confidence. And in addition to the confidence, it's the money mindset that you bring to the table with you. And I'll give you an example. People who, you know, if for your listeners, if any of these phrases sound familiar, you might take a look at your mindset. If you find yourself saying things like, I work so hard and I can't ever make ends meet, or I'll take whatever I can get for this project, even if it's not full rate, I need the money. And why do I constantly struggle? This is the story of my life, right? If your thoughts are formed around struggle and lack, you know, that's exactly what you're going to bring into your life. Because you don't have your mind open to the greater opportunities. And because, energetically speaking, even if you act confident and positive, yes, that definitely changes your brain chemistry over time. But oftentimes people can tell us an act, there is a lower vibration to your energy, and people don't want to be around that. And if you have a positive money mindset, you're somebody who looks at the possibilities instead of those limitations, and you have every confidence that you'll get out of debt, and you don't so much worry about how you're going to do it. And you don't hear, here's a big one. I hear people who are in trouble with their money mindset really pointing the finger at wealthy people. There's jealousy and there's name calling. You know, they really depict them as selfish, greedy people. And if you want to be one of them, you certainly aren't going to become one of them, because if you view them as selfish and greedy or anything else, that's not who you want to be. So you will self-sabotage, you know, subconscious self-sabotage to the hilt. Yeah.
Again, that's that, you know, I'm not generalizing people, the Catholic guilt trip. One of my favorite lines is, I was born and raised in New York, and I was raised so New York Catholic that my mother was a travel agent for guilt trips, because that's what she did. You know, like, so, you know, that's something that I've really had to overcome. And, you know, full disclosure, working with you, I did the same thing. You did it first and you were telling me about it, and then you taught me. And see, that's one of the things about a coach that I think is so important. And I'm going off on a couple of tangents, but I do have a point. Every doctor needs a doctor. Every mentor needs a mentor. Every coach needs a coach. Mm-hmm. But I think working with a coach who's actually done it for themselves first and then taught other people how to do it and then learn from those experiences start to really create a heck of a lot more wealth of information and systemization and proof positive in the pudding and things that they did. So I was able to actually double my prices after you did what you did. And it's funny, the first two people that I talked to after I did that say, let's go. And I went, have I been undercharging all this time? What's going on? But the thing is that I was able to understand the value that I brought to the table. And the, you know, this includes like creating a website, creating a brand, creating a logo, you know, redefining their story. I mean, that, you know, you sit down and you look at all these pieces. Yeah, somebody can come in and do a website cheaper. Somebody could come in and maybe help them organize their logo. I'm not a designer. I got somebody else to do it. But, you know, pull the brand out of them and put it into a visual, organize their thoughts so that their story made sense to their end users. And you start pulling all of those pieces together and you go, you know, that's worth every penny and more. And to your point, the first one of those customers that I actually worked with at the new price came back to me and I asked him a question. I said, real simply, I said, you know, do you feel like you got value out of what we've done so far? And the response back was, I think we've exceeded expectations. Mm-hmm. And we weren't finished yet. And I just went, holy crap. Yeah. Right?
That's so exciting. And it's thrilling for me to hear those things from you, because as you said, I've been with you alongside of you for this journey. And it's been so satisfying for me. And I love that, you know, you and so many others out there are learning to appreciate their self-worth. And you know, the thing we have to remember is that when we understand what we can do for other people, we become better at it. And so we're bringing more to these discussions. We're giving more. We're helping other people at a much higher level when that confidence sets in. And I've seen that happen for you. And I've seen your clients just like take off as a result. And it's very exciting. Yeah, it's confidence. Brian, I have a client who 1 year ago to date in August netted $935, right? And in August, at the end of, well, it was like September 1st, I got a little text from him, and it was a screenshot of his iPhone calculator, and it said $20,143. That was his gross, and his net was like 16.
It's amazing. So to kind of finish up and to kind of get one last thought out, you know, here we are talking about all these wonderful things and how great it is and how easy it is, just double your price and all this other stuff. So what, if you could sum it up in a nutshell, what advice, what are the steps that people need to take? 1, 2, 3. So what are the steps that you think people could take away from today's talk?
Yeah, well, I'll combine the mindset direction with a little bit of that type of work. Yeah, you do need to go out and kind of do some sort of competitive analysis, but make sure you're comparing apples to apples and oranges to oranges. So you need to know what your market will bear. And so that comes back to, who is my ideal client? When people are in this position, oftentimes they're taking clients from all walks of life. They're taking whatever they can get. You got to trim those clients off the vine and know who your perfect client is. That's really important, because that's the person to whom you are going to have the most value. Okay, mm-hmm. So definitely look at that. But one of the things, this is honestly the most important piece to it, is appreciating your current wealth. Even if you're struggling to pay your rent or your mortgage, you have a roof over your head, and learn to place more emphasis on what you have rather than what you're missing. And as that energy lifts, you're going to attract more of that good stuff, including money. Now, you know, Dave Ramsey would probably yell and scream at me if he heard me say this, but I think it's important to feel wealthy. I think that's very important. And so it's occasionally get out there and do something for yourself that makes you feel good about yourself. The client I just mentioned, all he did was change his mind. We got business structure into place, yes, but that was the easy part. Once he changed his mind about who he is and what he has to offer, that's when the money started rolling in. He went out before he could afford it, and he bought himself a beautiful luxury car. And that was a huge, now it was pre-certified used, but still gorgeous, couple years old only. So he was sensible about it, but that was when things really, really started to change for him. When he felt good about who he is, how he's appearing, who he's showing up as, and his confidence, he started dressing better and just changed things in his life. And from there on, there's just been no stopping him. So keep a journal if you must, of the things that you appreciate in life. And the trick to that is not just regurgitating every day, well, I'm blessed for my kids and I'm happy that I've been, but to go out into the world every single day looking for things that make you feel grateful and happy, because they're out there. You only have to, you know, open your eyes and look around for them, and make that a daily mission to go out and find three things that can make you smile or warm your heart or feel, you know, some level of gratitude for. And just do a little 5-minute writing about those every night before you go to bed, and that'll get you a better night's sleep, and you'll wake up a different person.
Great advice. So what about the price raising mindset? What's the last thing on the table when they get to that point, when they're ready to raise their prices? What do they need to think about?
You know, for me, I just woke up and I knew it was just, and I had a process of how I got there. It's a very metaphysical process. I think that just when it's time, you know it in your gut, and to expedite that lapse in time, you need to start doing the exercises like the one I just mentioned, so that mm-hmm. you can get there sooner. So really it's just a gut decision, and then you just do it and you talk about it as though it always has been that way. Mm-hmm. With every bit of confidence. You know, one sales call tip I was given years ago that I still value to this day is, when you give a customer your rates, never explain them, never compare them, never talk about them. And my rate is bam, and shut your mouth. Mm-hmm. And it works.
I love it. I absolutely love it. And this has been, I mean, some incredibly great advice. And I think the biggest takeaway from all of this is it's a process. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons I say, you know, every coach needs a coach. And if you don't have a coach, if you're not in a mastermind, if you're not someplace where you can bounce ideas off of other people, I really suggest that people search that out, because that has accelerated and changed my life from the day I decided to start doing it.
Yeah. Talking out loud is very important. We process different when we speak out loud.
And we need either affirmation or, dude, you're out of your mind, you know.
Sometimes. Yeah, but be careful who you listen to, okay? You know, mm-hmm. that's important to remember. Be careful who you listen to, because a lot of people, you know, hear what I charge. And believe me, it's not outrageous. My clients get an ROI within 3 to 4 months. Mm-hmm. But some people hear what I charge and they like roll their eyes. Are you flipping kidding me? You know? Right. So be careful who you listen to.
And that's the key is yeah, you can get, you know, it's like anything else. You can go get, you know, dollar store advice, or you can drive a luxury vehicle, you know, but the difference is the luxury vehicle is going to probably help you make more money than the dollar store advice. So that's, you know, yeah. Bottom line, shop around, find somebody that you relate to, that makes sense to you. And do your due diligence, talk to other people, you know, the end result with all of it is just find somebody you're compatible with that you can relate to that really helps you kind of become a better person. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Marla, this has been fantastic as usual. I love talking to you no matter what, but on a podcast is like bonus.
So fun. I always enjoy it. Thanks for the invitation, Brian.
Oh, you're welcome. So if people want to get a hold of you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Through my website at marlatabaca.com.
Great. And spell that for them in case they're driving sure. in their car.
It's Marla, M-A-R-L-A, Tabaca is T-A-B-A-K-A.com.
Awesome. Hey, Marla, thank you again for taking time out and dropping some sizzling hot bacon knowledge bombs on my peeps. As always, I mean, I love interviewing people, but I love interviewing people I love. And that is that a palindrome? I don't know. Whatever it was fun. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Brian.
Well, that's it for today's Bacon Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something today. If you did, please go to iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate all your feedback and comments. If you have any questions, go to www.baconpodcast.com/questions, and we'll make sure we get those answered for you. Till next time, keep sizzling.